Adam Cravens, and Jane Ellen watch more movies each month than most people do in a year. Parental guidance suggested reviews new movies in theaters with no spoilers promise. These film nerds know their stuff.
Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And because of issues.
Unique situations beyond our limited control.
We are focusing on movies of note.
I would say classics. I would say the we've done so far, Jaws. Anybody that argues that isn't a classic or a landmark of cinema, like, is obviously on some kind of mind expanding something.
Yeah.
But even at that, I would still think they'd be like, no, Jaws is good. I mean, that goat over there is talking to me, but Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah. Now, we're just going to pretend everyone already loves Lord of the Rings, and we're going to dive right in. And this, I'd like to dedicate this episode to Stephen Colbert, who knows more about Lord of the Rings than I ever, ever will.
Knows more about Lord of the Rings than Gandalf the Grey does.
Yes.
And like, I don't mean
that.
And
I love him for that.
I don't even mean that in a hyperbolic way. When he was on his show, the two of them did like a trivia contest. And he beat Sir Ian McKellen in a trivia contest involving Lord of the Rings. And I'm just like,
he wins all the rings.
That's saying something. That, I mean, literally knows more about it than Gandalf.
Well, Anna Grace and I watched Return of the King the other night. And as people would show up, I've always made this a point with the children. After the age of maybe like 4 or so, if they'd hear a voice in a cartoon, I'd say, that's the same person who does this voice and things like that. And that's the same actor in this. So they would learn actors because that's incredibly important information. So
if not one that you can cash in on later in their life.
Yes, much later.
I do wish it had a more monetary value attached to it. But like, if you ever play Trivial Pursuit with me, like, people are scared.
As well they should be.
Yeah.
And that's really all it's been worth for us. But, so we're watching it, and I said, okay, now remember, Sabrina's auntie is in this. And she goes, what? You know, the one that always has a cigarette in the holder, that auntie, she's in this. I am no man. That's Sabrina's auntie. And she went, oh, yeah. Now, I told her this many, many times, but she had to be told again. That's Sabrina's auntie.
Some people need like a visual or an emotional connection to something before it sticks in their mind. It could be that. Now, let me ask you this, because some people won't. Like, every time I've ever asked my cousin this, he's like, well, it's just one large, like, 12-hour movie, Adam. What is your favorite?
Fellowship?
Okay. That's my favorite as well. I think it feels like the most complete, like, singular of them. Like, Two Towers really...
Two Towers is walking.
Well, I mean, and it has two bookends, like, that begin and end it. So, like, I really never felt like it really gets to tell its own story.
And Return of the King, which won the Oscar, but we all know that was the Oscar for saying, hey, thanks for making all of these. I think of more in terms of moments. It has moments I love, like when she says, I am no man, or, you know, I can carry you, Mr. Frodo. And then
the 25 minutes worth of endings, which,
yes,
as
which
much
we
as,
did not watch.
Which, as much as people like threw fits about, I was just like, guys, it's,
I know.
You put them all together, it's like 12 hours. Are you really going to, like, you know, begrudge him? You're like, oh, it went on 30 minutes too long. Out of 12 hours, why did you have to do that last 30?
As we're watching it, I said, ooh, the way is shut. And she goes, what? I said, the way is shut. It was built by the dead. And then she goes, you are such a nerd, Mom. And I said, thanks.
And
the way is shut.
She probably meant that in a bad way. But like,
I was thrilled. I said, yeah, thanks.
It's like the time the person got me a Snuggie and I was like, joke's on you. I love this.
The way is shut.
Like, you're a nerd, Mom. Well, thank you. I've been working at this for years.
They have a cave troll.
I'm rather proud of it.
I am as well. However, first we'll discuss Fellowship, and then she was bringing up... We went back to Fellowship because she was asking me things, particularly about the ring, and things that bothered her. Not bothered her as in the movie is bad, bothered her, but bothered her as in why could it have not been this way? One of the things was about the orcs. why are all of them evil? And I said, look, it's not like there's a Finn in there. Maybe there is, but that's not this story.
No, like, again, like, when you're using up that much story time, you really can't cut to, like, you know, John Orc.
Who, yeah.
He's over here doing, like, you know, beneficial stuff to, like, starving orc children mm-hmm. in Orcsburg or
you're
wherever.
And the orc children, Adam, I think you already knew that.
I did. but if I section off and explain why there's not after the joke, I've
it's
really,
not funny, yeah.
I deflate my own joke by trying to explain, like, listen, before the nerds, when I understand that they're not, but for the sakes and purposes of this joke, they're orc children.
That made it funnier. Yeah. And the fact that I could use Star Wars, that comment that I made, I was so happy with. I felt that she should still be praising me over that remark still days later. And yet she's appeared to have told no one how clever it was.
Sometimes you land a good one and you're just like, ah, tumbleweeds. I'm like an artist during the Renaissance era that was never appreciated before he died.
I know.
One day people will speak of my brilliance.
Adam, one day.
My wit.
One day. So this bothered her, the orcs and their... And then I even tried hive mind. And I said, no, not so much a hive mind as... And that's when I said, look... The importance of the story is, no matter how insignificant you think you are, you matter. I said, that's the importance of, oh, I just gave myself goosebumps. I said, that's what all of this is. You matter. Well, and for the purpose of this, they're all evil.
I mean, and case in point, like, there's one of the best endings, like, in it is when, like, the king... Literally, like, just stops him and says, my friend, you bow.
Oh,
you
that
bow to
gets
no
me
one.
Every time.
And you've just got, like, these four, like, real what people would assume are just, you know, insignificant. Like, they're not tall, they're not strapping, they're not great warriors, they're not wizards, like, they, you know, they haven't slain dragon, like, they haven't done any of this. And, like, you have the newly, like, restored king basically just being like, no, you're, guys, listen, you took one for the team, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, you're good.
She kept saying, why did the hobbits get involved, and why didn't they know about this in the first place? Her biggest contention is, why didn't anyone else know about the ring? And so this is what we discussed in great detail, so feel free, because she was not yet satisfied. I told her, I said, look, you've got men, and you've got elves, and you have other, and I said, imagine all of them are medieval Europe. I said, and then you've got Australia. They're doing stuff too, but because there's no telecommunication or anything, they're not really associated with what's going on in Europe. So I said, the hobbits are kind of Australia. They are doing their own thing, and they're living their own lives, and they are like in a bubble away from all of that 2,000 years prior to this story. Would you say that is?
I'd say that's accurate. And on top of that, I mean... The ring, who was with Bilbo for mm-hmm. what, about 70, 80 years after the, mm-hmm. the incident with the dragon? I mean, he is not a power hungry. I think that's the other part of it.
That's what we're getting to.
If you would have had it with somebody else, like mm-hmm. if you give it to, like, you know, if Denethor had been the one that got the ring, or if you any of these,
still
you,
watch that movie.
Boromir, like we saw what happens when he got near mm-hmm. the ring.
By the way, do you recall that I've spoken to him
with Boromir? She's not even talking about the actor. She has been to Middle Earth and she has spoken to Boromir.
She Anna Grace said, "Why was the ring able to stay with Bilbo? Why did it not turn?" Smeagol evil. And I said, well,
because they didn't
crave world domination is what I said.
It kind of, like, enhances the best and the worst.
Why didn't
you.
We get a doctorate in this?
And Bilbo, like, when he talks about what he wants to do, he uses the ring for a joke
yeah.
at his 11th birthday, and then, like, he just said, he goes, oh, what are you gonna do? Well, I'm gonna I'm going to finish my book. Like, he's not talking about, he's like, I will rule the show. Like, he's,
I will be the tallest
he's
of the
just
hobbits.
Like, I'm going to go stay with my friend over here in Elfsburg. That'll be nice. And, we're going to hang out there. I think they've got some bread I like, Lamba's bread. We're going to do that. I'm going to hang out. It's going to be cool. I'm going to write a book. It's going to be great. I'm really excited about it.
And so then it also bothered her that you had the whole Gollum thing. And I said, well, again, all he wanted was the ring, and the ring brought out evil in him, but it didn't bring out world domination in him because he's just not like that.
Well, that, like, even before the ring touched Gollum,
he was probably kind of a jerk.
I'm going to go ahead, or, like, he probably just, like, he wasn't curing cancer. Like,
no, he like, was like the I jerk hobbit.
I really don't think that, like, that guy was going to, like, we did, the ring didn't prevent him from doing anything. Like, it wasn't just like, I have got an idea. It will be a telescope. I will create telescopes in Middle Earth. Like, I really think this guy was probably just the one that, like, he went down to the local bar, like, maybe had, like, four different kinds
got
of Lay's potato chips and Doritos. Probably said some things he shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even think he was, like, employee of the month, like, at whatever job he had. Like, I don't think this guy, like, he wasn't, like, evil, like Skeletor is evil.
I think he was, if he were evil, I think he was like the Joe Dirt of Hobbit types.
I really think you may have nailed it.
Yeah, the with
and if, honest evil. To goodness, if Adam Sandler for some reason ever decides he needs to adapt Lord of the Rings for Netflix, I think you just nailed the casting there. Like,
yeah.
David Spade is going to be like,
yeah, I think so.
Like Joe Gollum. Like,
I'm Joe Gollum.
Or Smeagol Dirt. Like, being like, oh, yeah, it's my ring. Yeah, it's precious. Precious to me. Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is.
Yep. So, how I explained it was they didn't have it in them. Even though they seemed small and insignificant, even though Gollum is difficult to have a lot of sympathy for, I said that they didn't want anything more than what they had, essentially.
Yeah, they were satisfied. Like, they wanted to
they could
smoke,
get satisfaction.
Smoke their pipe weed. They wanted a pint. Like, they liked it. Don't mess with the cheese in my house. Like, listen, I fully understand, like, the hobbits.
The
like,
cheese, yeah.
Like, when that look, and I don't care for the Hobbit films, but there's a look that Bilbo gives when he is about to eat his dinner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At, like, it's the first knock from the dwarves, and the look of irritation just at the...
Nailed it.
Oh, I just... All I want is to... Why are you knocking on my door? Like, I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that more than I felt, like, them defeating a dragon for, like, a mountain that had held gold. Like, that moment right there. There's another one. Like, it's not quite as funny as that one, but it's the... it's right before, or it's right after Frodo says, I will take it, but I do not know the way. They cut over to Ian McKellen, and he gives this look like that is somewhere in between like his respect and his admiration for Frodo. But on the flip side of it, he understands what that entails. And you see it go from like elation to disappointment, like all at the
same
time.
And in that scene, Gandalf does one of those as well.
Yeah.
Ian McKellen, for that look alone that he gives at the same point when Frodo says, I will take it,
yeah,
he should have won like 10 Oscars. Just throw it at him.
Well, I mean, he got the nomination.
But still.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah.
In order to convey all of those emotions all at once, and you knew exactly what he meant.
Oh, yeah. Literally, he doesn't say anything. But you just look at it.
That
and
is acting.
Well, I mean... Ian McKellen, if you were going to have a picture in the dictionary next to acting, like I'm pretty sure Ian McKellen is in like the top 10 for they're just like, would you consider this guy an actor? And be like, yeah, I think that one's accurate right there.
So with her other questions regarding the ring, she said, well, how come... We're talking about the Nazgul and how come nobody remembered this and all that. And that's when I said, okay, now let's just go back to the beginning. And I said, we're going to watch the intro to Fellowship. And we watched it twice. She goes, that answered none of my questions.
You're like, it answers
all of them.
Listen, I'm sorry that like there's not a lot of action going on there, and that it is basically just, what is it, like 5 or 6 minutes worth of... Now, granted, it's being given to you by Cate Blanchett. Like, the only other person I know that's better at giving that amount of like just the info dump is maybe Christopher Lloyd, because that's basically all Doc does in Back to the Future. He's just like, oh, we've got to do this, and we got to take this there, we got to use 1.21 gigawatts, and we're going to do... That's all she's doing there, but like...
There's so much.
Right, and like... Not for nothing.
And why can't there be magic? And why isn't there this? And I said, okay, so let's look at it again. See, these men, they were the kings of men, and they were corrupt. And so
that's
you're
what
telling
the corruption,
me,
like, yeah, it literally took a physical manifestation of, like, the ugliness that was inside them. Unless anybody wants to argue that the Nazgul are hot, which is the only hashtag I may have never seen. Hot, like, hot Nazgul. Like, that's...
No. I'm not.
Though I'm going to make that trend. Excuse me.
Okay. I need to make a pause. If only we had that power.
Hot Nazgul.
Hot Nazgul. Nazgul and their girlfriends. But again, you're in Nazgul girlfriends because you understand how it works.
Who would really want to... I mean, in the same way that, like, we also understand that, like, Palpatine sired children, like, I'm also like, Nazgul, that's not cool.
Let's not. So... She did not understand how the elves, who are immortal and good, she said, how did they forget? And I said, well, it's not so much that they forgot. I said, because as you recall, Mr. Anderson, they knew about the ring, but they thought it was lost. And he said Gandalf kind of sort of knew about it, but he didn't, they thought it was lost.
It's also about yay big.
Yeah.
And like Middle Earth is pretty big.
Right. And so, listen, I said, maybe you should listen to this again. I said, and then legend became myth, and myth faded. I said, it was 2,000 years. And so they kind of went, I guess.
In the same way people, like, will regard, like, I'm sure, like, Norse mythology or, like, different bits of that. That's basically what it became to them. Like, I think people are like, oh, yeah, well, that... Well, nobody's seen a dragon around here. No dragons exist. Little do they know, over in that misty mountain, there is a dragon.
And
he is an angry dragon.
That's for sure. You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens talking about what? Lord of the Rings. All of them at the same time. It's brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Yes?
But not the Hobbit movies.
No, we're just talking about the good ones.
I mean, I respect the 4 hours worth of good cinema that exists in that.
It could have been a great, tight 90-minute movie.
Which it was probably at one point. I'm going to go ahead and say when Guillermo del Toro and with Peter Jackson, like, producing, both of them were like, yeah, it's one. It's like a 300-page book. And they're just like, but what if it was a trilogy? Cha-ching. And they're like, wait, what did you say at the end of that sentence?
What if it's a quadrupogy?
Like, that's probably what they were like, what if we made 3 trilogies out of it? What if, can we do the... Or if we can't get 9 movies, can we do an octology?
Can we do a dragon backstory?
Is that, can we do that? Or can we do a spinoff film based on just dragons? Maybe they race things.
Or...
And Vin Diesel is one of the dragons. And they're just like, let's concentrate on...
Middle-earth drift.
I'm really surprised that...
Hasn't been made. So the questions the child had are, how did the elves forget, and why couldn't she just give it to Gandalf? He's just going to give it to Gandalf. And I said, again, let me point out that he would want to do good with it, but because he was not...
Through him.
...a hobbit. Huh.
What?
Well, it bugs me.
And he literally addresses that question in the film when he's like, Frodo, do not
tempt me.
Do not tempt me, Frodo. Like, and he's just like, I think he throws it on the floor. He does something to that effect.
Yes.
He's just like, listen. I get what you're saying. And that'd be cool. I know, like, you don't think about this all the time, but there's only like 5 of us wizards on Middle Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the most powerful people here. It's a bad idea if I get that, okay? All right? Like, I understand that you all think I just do, like, tricks with, like, you know, fireworks and stuff. And I can make ships out of, like, the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm actually a really powerful wizard. Like, in the future, I'm going to fight a Balrog and I whip its tail. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what a Balrog is? And
he's like, No, I do not.
No.
Fellowship is such a profoundly good movie on its own. I wish that had won the Oscar, though I understand why it went to the last one. But Fellowship can just...
It stands on its own.
It really can. And I will never forget, and I'm so glad I had this opportunity. I remember guys in high school walking around reading The Hobbit for fun, and I would think, huh. And that's as far as my thought went. Huh. I just noticed a lot of guys reading The Hobbit. Now,
football
I realize we could have been friends.
Pitchers, like
none.
None of them. Those are the guys you're talking
nope.
about?
Nope. Okay. None of them. Or right. They didn't seem to have a lot of friends.
I think I know the people. Side story. I read The Hobbit when I was in elementary school.
I knew Tolkien was a writer, and I knew what he wrote. And that's it. I'd read none of it. And so when I saw Fellowship of the Ring, I was entranced, truly had no idea how much time had passed. They walk up the hill. What? What? I need the rest of the movie.
It's a great way to pull you in to make sure that like 12 months from then, you're going to. Yeah, it really, if you can do a really good, like, just a kind of a clip at the end of it there. Force Awakens, like, the follow-ups I didn't feel were that. But, like, the way J.J. Abrams sets that up, like, has Rey handing Luke's lightsaber to him at the end of it. Like, and...
That was cool.
Well, and we haven't seen this character in, what, 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not in...
And the handoff to Leia... was it Rogue One?
Rogue One.
I thought that was awesome.
I'm just saying, like, you have, they didn't even have another film to, like,
right.
kind of toss the baton to. But, like, I was stoked beyond compare, and I knew it was coming because I was like, we've been here 2 hours. Oh, my goodness. Luke's not even going to say something. Mark Hamill, talk. Like, I wonder what he made for... what I really wouldn't even call, like, it's...
Was his hand in that scene?
Not even a cameo. No, he just stands there and
looks
glaringly at her, says nothing. Like, he's barely, like, even background, like, extras get to say, like, words. Like, he's basically scenery in that movie. Probably paid very handsomely.
Oh, I have no doubt
tremendously handsomely for it.
Yeah. So, after I saw Fellowship for the first time, the first of, I'll say, 100 times, I read the trilogy in its entirety 3 times in a row. Finish the last page, go back and start it. And that's when my child said, why? I said, because?
Those novels.
And then
are
I went
very...
to the Silmarillion and said, I don't ever need to read that again.
Like, it's not like, say, One Fish, Two Fish,
no.
where... Really, after one reading, I feel like I have
covered it.
I know everything that the book
was
trying to tell me.
There is a red fish and a blue fish.
Lord of the Rings, on the other hand, like, especially if you kind of were introduced to those characters in the films, like, there's a multitude of backstory. There's a multitude mm-hmm. of, like, even I think in some cases, like, you know, so-and-so begat so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Like, it is almost biblical. Like,
oh yeah,
it just, there is so much information that is just being spewed out there. Characters that were completely like deleted from the fit, like that fill in like these swaths of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just considering that those films total, like the extended editions are what, right around 12? I'm pretty sure I'm right about that.
They don't seem long enough, but yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, even at that, they had to cut large sections out of this book.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really consider yourself a fan of this...
Yeah, I really missed the forest guy.
This mythology?
Cool.
What's the... I mean, you even had, like, what's essentially the climax in the book cut out of this one in favor of, like, an earlier part, like, of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a battle in Hobbiton, which, really, I'm glad they didn't do. Like,
yeah.
I didn't need to see that. But...
No, I liked seeing... all the hobbits happy and green and
well, I mean, after the basically the torture he's been put through since he set foot outside like Hobbiton, really felt like they needed like, you know, a good pat on the back. Just like, good job, guys. Guess what? We're not going to burn your town down.
Okay. Thanks.
Especially not after all that you did for Middle Earth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Appreciate it.
So how important is it, are they, in terms of films and story?
I think especially if you will look at the track record of fantasy films at the at any really award shows. Like, name me another like fantasy, like science fiction fantasy film that has won. Not the nomination, that has won. And like, it didn't just win, like it tied Ben-Hur for the most amount of Oscars won during a single year. Which I think it also tied up with, I want to say, Titanic, if I'm remembering correctly. Like, as much as people can just look at the back on them now and just go, oh, these things are really good. Granted. But, like, you also don't understand necessarily, like, the respect it brought to that genre. Because, like, film, those kind of films do not win that.
Correct. And feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but Peter Jackson went into that saying, I'm going to tell the whole story. I'm making it three movies. I'm filming them all at once.
Yes. And like, New Line bet big on that too. I mean, one, this is also before like you're constantly filming like trilogies or like second and third films, but like at the same time. If that, I want to say the budget of those three movies was around somewhere around like $276 million. It was something like that. It was very expensive. If Fellowship would have come out and just bombed its first week, like there's a really good chance New Line Cinema would have went bankrupt.
So Oscar-wise,
I think it was 11.
Each film was nominated for Picture of the Year, Fellowship, Two Towers, Return of the King. Return of the King is the one that won. Two Towers wasn't nominated for director or screenplay. Art direction, it won for King, but nominated for the others. Fellowship won an Oscar for cinematography, makeup, and score, and visual effects.
And Ian McKellen was up for Gandalf in Fellowship. Because I'm also going to argue, Gandalf the Grey is a lot more fun than Gandalf the White.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
Like, Gandalf the White, like, he's cool, and, like, he does some really great things at the end of it. But, like, if I'm going to get to hang out with anybody, if I want to dude around with anybody, Gandalf the Grey seems like he has got a lot of adventures that, like, he didn't get to talk about in those movies.
And it's, I was so excited that night that Return of the King won all those Oscars. And I had absolutely nothing to do with it except going to see it.
In the same way that people get excited whenever their sports team wins and they're like, we did it! And I'm just like, you didn't do anything. What do you mean we did it? Like, I think all of the players out there did it, and probably like the coach. You're not even from that city. What do you mean we? That's the closest I will ever be able to experience, because it was like, we did it! Look! And they're like, oh, were you one of the key grips in that movie?
No, I don't know what a key grip is.
Did you write the screenplay?
We did it.
I've read the book that the screenplay was.
I bought the merchandise.
Based on?
I have the Lord of the Rings.
Am I not wearing a Lord of the Rings t-shirt right now? Do I have the last level saved on my Xbox for the Two Towers game? Huh?
No,
my friend, we.
We did it. So, I guess, if you've never seen any of the Lord of the Rings films, you certainly haven't been listening to this. I would say, of course, start at the beginning, start with Fellowship, and I would say watch the theatrical release because it's shorter and clearly you have no taste. I mean, attention span. And
now, if people want to argue about my nerdy obsession with Serenity or Firefly, I will grant them that. Like, it's a canceled television show. Like, there are a lot of things. People didn't see that in mass. But, like, you and I were not alone in our affection for The Lord of the Rings. Each one of these films cleared $200 million, like, domestically.
according to Wikipedia, together, $3 billion.
Well, I mean, that's what, like, that's Star Wars numbers right there. Like, however much you might argue, you're like, oh, I'm not into Star Wars. Right. But you recognize that it's very popular. Lord of the Rings was not some underground, like, success. It won 11 Oscars when the year that Return of the King was up. Each of these, like, and each successive film, if I'm remembering correctly, also did better than the film previous to it. Like, opening weekends, final grosses. Like, and this was a time as well that, like, you were starting to see kind of a downward turn in box office. Like, Return of the King was one of the, it wasn't the first, but it was one of the first films to cross the $1 billion mark. And this is before, like, every film that Disney decided it was going to produce made $1 billion. Like, at this point, I want to say, like, it was maybe Titanic at that point, Return of the King. It may have been the second film to do it. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but I do know that it was a much more rarefied air whenever Return of the King, like, I had watched The Midnight Show, and this is when you and I were still recording. I came in and I had slept, I don't know, 3 hours, and like, we did it live on air for the review of Return of the King. Like, it was a pretty big deal.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Really big deal. So you should watch them, and you should realize that knowing all that you may know about it is only going to give you smugness and pleasure, and maybe not those you live with. And you may have to think less of them because of it.
I mean, try not to voice it, but sometimes when people just don't understand, like, what you're trying to tell them or explain to them, or run the scene back and explain to you why you love it, they're just like, can't we just get through this? Well, I mean, what do you mean? Hypothetically, yes.
Her response was,
hypothetically, we can.
I've tried to get you to watch all sorts of stuff, and you're just not interested. It's like, well, first of all, it sucks.
And my taste is better.
Yeah, and most of that anime is awful. And when you're older, you'll recognize it as such. That's why your stuff sucks. That's all.
I don't know that they're going to understand it when they get older. I'm going to tell you, like, couple of things I loved when I was like 7. Superman, Star Trek, Star Wars,
and Mario Brothers. Good.
Yeah, I still love all that. Like, the only difference now is I'm taller and I have a beard, and that's really it. I think that's the essential difference between me and like 7, 8.
I have noticed a shift, though. There'll be some movies that they remember loving it, and then they watch it now and they're like, I used to love that movie. It's terrible. It's like, I know.
They take off those rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah.
Now, those situations, yes. But not everything that,
I know.
I'm probably like part of the rarer part of it. Like, most adults will put away their childlike things.
Why?
But I'm just like, wait, but Mario Brothers 3 is a classic. And they're like, are you 40? And I'm like, technically, yes.
whatever. Anyway, Lord of the Rings, you should see it, and we could discuss it in finer detail. We simply chose not to.
I think I'm very impressed with really keeping it as succinct as we did today.
Yeah, really impressed, because there's so much more. My favorite thing is, in Fellowship, to listen to the director's cut with the commentary. That's my favorite way to watch it.
It's
real good.
And I mean, not for nothing, there's actually a lot of really interesting insight.
Yeah.
Like Peter Jackson really knows how to put together, like, when back in the day, like, when you get to call something a special edition and all it had was like scene selection and a trailer, I'm just like, I call shenanigans.
It's
like,
not so special.
Even the extended, like, DVDs had like 2 additional DVDs of just either the minute, like, just infinitesimal detail that he would go into either irritated you, or you were just like, this is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
This is holy, this, when I want a special edition, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is the deluxe hamburger right now.
Hamburger. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, Lord of the Rings Rules. And thank you, Stephen Colbert, for loving it even more than we do, because that's a lot. And I feel that I haven't even touched the surface of his vast knowledge and insight.
There's an interview about Lord of the Rings. I would enjoy doing.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so have a great rest of your whatever. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I shall not pass.
You've been listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. Download your favorites and keep up with new episodes in the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center.